I have four boys. Four wonderful boys who love apples. They eat two a day each. Eight apples gone a day. I don't mind that so much. They're a relatively cheap snack. They're good for them. But they tend to just leave the apple cores laying around. Drives me nuts having to go around picking up apple cores. One year we went on holiday and we came back and there was ants all over the floor. Didn't take me long to find out that there was an apple core left on the floor in the corner. And that's what I'd invited them all in. Doesn't matter how many times I say to the boys, put your apple core in the bin, they still just ignore me. And they go off leaving that apple core where they've just finished eating it. Just get fed up with telling them. They don't listen. Maybe you feel a bit like that sometimes. Or you can at least sympathise with that because it's happened to you before. Maybe at work or at home. And I want you to think about that while we look at this passage. Bear that in mind. We're looking at Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 23. There's a lot in this passage. It's the parable of the sower or the farmer sowing his seeds. A well-known passage in the Bible. Lots of kid stories. It's in kid Bible stories, bedtime stories. It's probably just read so often that we glance over it. I don't want to spend ages on it, and I'm going to try not to, because there is so much that I could say about it, so much in relation to where it is in the book of Matthew, so much in itself about the parable, and the bits in between where Jesus explains why he's speaking as he's speaking. And I just want us to really look at it, and what I'm hoping is that I plant a seed, there you go, using it, plant a seed of thought into your mind, that you would look at it and hope to gain more by looking at it yourself. What we're going to do is, what we're trying to do is look at the middle section of our passage first, and then look at the parable. The passage we've got starts with the parable, Jesus telling the parable to the people of Israel around while he's on the boat, and then it ends with him describing the parable and the meaning of the parable to his disciples. And what I'm going to do is look at the middle bit first, a bit in between that, and then we're going to look at the parable. But I want you to, if you've got your Bibles with you, if you've got that passage open, I want you to look at this passage. And I want you to take note of the first verse in chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 1, and it starts off with that same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat, sat in it, and while all the people were still on the shore, then he told them many things in parables. I want you to take note of that same day. That same day. Why is that important? Well, Matthew writes it with reason, because chapter 13 follows chapter 12. Chapter 12 we have been looking at in the last few weeks, and we've seen that Jesus has been challenged by the Pharisees because his disciples picked wheat to eat, grains of wheat to eat, and accused them of working on a Sunday. They then accused Jesus of working on a Sunday because he heals a man's withered hand, and Jesus challenges them back and says, is it not good, better to do good on the Sabbath? And he says, and in saying that, and saying that he is the Son of Man, the Sabbath was made for the Son of Man, the Pharisees seek then for a way in which to kill him. And then it continues on in chapter 12, this same day, it carries on that Jesus heals or casts out demon from a demon-possessed man. He's accused of being part of Satan's army, one of Satan's workers. And Jesus points out, well, he can't be, because Satan's house wouldn't work against Satan. It would be no good. It would fall. But he's the strong man that casts Satan, has more power than Satan. And it just riles them up, riles the Pharisees up. And then Jesus carries on with some more teaching. And then he says about who is my mother and my brother and my sister. And then we come to chapter 13. It is that same day when Jesus has gone away from that house where he's talking. And he's gone, and it looks like he's gone to seek a little bit of time on his own. He sits by the lake. And then this crowd gather around him. They still want to know more. They're still looking. They're still searching for Jesus. And they're interested in what he has to say. And interested in what he does. And it is at this point that Jesus changes the way his teaching style. Up to this point, we haven't heard parables, and now all of a sudden, we've got parables. Well, what is a parable? A parable is a riddle. Or the other translation would be to throw together. So you have a story and a deeper meaning thrown in that story. So the story is there to to bring about the understanding of a deeper spiritual meaning. So they're thrown together in one, a riddle. And the disciples, if you notice in verse 10, they notice that Jesus had changed the way he's teaching. They come to him and they ask, why do you speak to the people in parables? What's changed? What gives? Why do you speak to the people in parables? And Jesus replies. And I think that the reply brings about questions. If we read the reply, it brought out who the question of who is them that he's talking about. It says in verse 11, he replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. So instantly I come with this bit, this section of the parable. Of the passage, I come with a question. Who is them and who is the you? Well, let's look at that just for a minute. I just want to answer those questions. Who is them that is coming? Well, the reason why I pointed out that same day is the beginning of this chapter is that it shows us who, it gives us the context of where we're, the passage we're looking at. So, when Jesus is talking about, because the knowledge of the secret of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. He's talking, if you take it in context, he's talking about the Pharisees, those that have been challenging him. And he continues and he says, this is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. And then he says even further, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. Jesus changed the way he's teaching into parables because the way that he's been teaching, that he's just shown, the Pharisees have just shown their hearts in what they've been doing. They have shown that they are hard of heart. They know the scripture. They know what the prophecies of old have said. And that the Christ is being revealed. And Jesus has walked along and he's been saying, the kingdom of God is near. And he's showing them. He's showing them in the miracles that he performs, in the healings, in the forgiveness of sins, in the teaching of authority that he's got. And yet they just do not want to know. They hear, but they don't hear. And they see it, but they don't see it. Because their hearts are calloused. And Jesus says, look, they fulfill this prophecy of Isaiah. And to them does not belong the kingdom of heaven. But to you, he says to the disciples, to you belongs the kingdom, the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because they desire more. They see Christ for who he is. Every time they see something that Jesus does that's miraculous, every time they see him forgive sins, they want more. They realize that this is the Christ, or could be the Christ. He says, verse 12, whoever has will be given more, and they will receive an abundance. Whoever does not have even what they have will be taken from them. And this is why I speak in parables. Jesus isn't preaching in order to confuse. He's not preaching in parables in order to confuse, but in order that those who are genuinely seeking would look for the hidden secrets of the parable. But for those like the Pharisees who aren't seeking, who are just looking and sitting under someone who tells wonderful stories, they won't see. It's hidden from them. He says to the disciples in chapter 16, but blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. They are in the presence of the Messiah, the Christ to come, the one who will take away the sins of the world, who will rule forevermore. They are blessed because they see it, whereas the Pharisees and a lot of the Israelites who are challenging Christ do not see it. So the them is the Pharisees and those who don't want to hear. And the you are those that want to sit under Christ, want to know more, who want to hear what God has, what Christ has to say. Verse 9, when he ends the parable, he says, whoever has ears, let him hear. And the disciples, they were obviously listening, because they come and ask him, why? Why did you change? What's different? Well, the difference is that is the kingdom. The difference is the kingdom. This is a kingdom parable. Jesus tells this parable as a way of us understanding what the kingdom is like. Or how, in actually in this case, this parable is how understanding how the kingdom comes to start. It's the starting place of the kingdom of God. This is one of seven parables in the chapter 13 of Matthew. And the rest of them say, they start with, the kingdom of heaven is like. Whereas this one doesn't necessarily start with that, but it's still a kingdom parable. When we look at the parable, we see that Jesus in verse 19, he says, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom, he's explaining the parable and he shows that this is a kingdom message. And then, and also when he's talking to the disciples about why he's speaking in parables, well, he says, look, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you. Because you want to know what the parable means. The parable is a message, a story, a riddle about heaven. So let's look at the parable. The parable of the sower. And here, so the farmer, he sows his seed, and some lands on the path, some lands on the thorny ground, on the not deep soil. Some lands on the thorny ground and the other lands in the good soil. And Jesus goes through explaining what that is. Well, the farmer is Christ. He is the farmer. He is telling people about himself, about Christ, about the kingdom of heaven. He is scattering the seed. The seed is the word, the message that Jesus Christ preaches. And the crop that grows is how we accept it, whether we accept it or not. So then the different types of people as well that it shows. So the different types of people who receive this seed and how they receive it. So he goes through and he says, look, the seed is thrown and it lands on the path, and the devil comes along and takes that seed, the word, the message that Jesus preaches and tells about the kingdom of God, and he snatches it away before it takes root. And there's the Pharisees for you in this parable. Before it takes root in their heart, the devil comes along and he says, look, that's not for you. Because if you believe that, then you lose your power, says to the Pharisees. And then you've got the seed, the word, the message that is thrown into the shallow soil, where it grows up with joy. Notice that. The seed, the message of Christ is joyful. But it springs up, but it doesn't really take root. Because as soon as someone comes along and says, oh, you don't believe in that Jesus Christ, do you? And the peer pressure of man comes in, then that person falls away because he doesn't want to risk looking stupid. Because the seed really hasn't grasped. It's joyful. The person who hears it knows it's something good, but haven't really accepted the full extent of what taking the message of Christ means. They haven't heard it properly. They've heard it, but they haven't heard it. And then you've got the seed that lands in the thorny ground. Well, it takes root. It goes in. And at the beginning, it's joyful. It must be. But then the things of the world, Jesus says, distract them from it. The seed falling among the thorns, verse 22, refers to someone who hears the word. But the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. I think we all know people like that. Maybe. Actually, to be honest, when I look at myself, I am guilty of that. That the things of this world, the money, the riches, the wealth, the promise of it, that they will bring happiness, they make me put Christ to the side. But actually, they are choking the real joy that Christ brings. Or when troubles hit and the circumstances of this world become really heavy, we don't hand them to Christ. We don't look at the message of God, but we try and bear them ourselves, and we choke under the weight of it. And then there's the seed that lands on the good soil. And Jesus says that is the person who takes the word and understands it. And that then grows into producing good fruit. That's the person I long to be. And I'm sure that's the person you long to be. The word of God. The seed of God. Is full of life. It gives life. It produces life. It produces fruit. And those who hear the word of God and accept it are unlocked the secrets of the kingdom of God. You see, the kingdom of God starts by hearing the word. And as we hear the word and receive the word, then we become Christ's. And Christ calls us to his kingdom. Romans puts it like this. Romans 10 verse 17 says, faith comes through hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. The disciples hear this message. They hear the parable and they want to know more because they want to know what this word is. And Christ says, well, blessed are you because you have seen and heard what the prophets of long ago longed to see and hear. And we're in that situation now. We have the word of God. We know what Christ has done for us. We know that Jesus Christ came and he died on the cross for us. We know that he rose again that we might have eternal life with our God. And that we might become part of the kingdom of God. Jesus, as he walked his life on earth, he showed us what the kingdom of God was like by healing people and showing that there will be no more suffering. There will be no more sin and sadness. We will be with Christ and we will be joyful. And this is what the parable of the sower is about. This is a parable that makes you think. Well, draws you to make a choice. Now I said to you about my boys, and they eat apples which are good for them. And it drives me nuts that they leave the apple cores on the side. They don't listen to me. They leave them there. Christ comes to you today through his word. And he says, look, I am here. I am the Christ. I am the one who can take away your sins, who can make you right with God, your creator. I am the one who has died in your place because I love you and I want you to know me and my Father. And he says that, he pleads with you. And now the question is do you have ears? Are you going to hear? He who has ears, let him hear. Are you listening? Are you listening and letting the word of God take root in your heart? And as it takes root in your heart, are you feeding it with Christ? Are you looking at Christ more? Because if you are, you will bear fruit. The things of this world will not distract you, will not matter so much, because when bad comes your way, when people take the mickey out of you for believing in Christ, you will grow stronger. You see, it's the sun that scorches the seed as it grows up. The shoots grow and the sun scorches it. But the sun is also needed to make it grow. And as those who follow Christ, as those who really listen to the word of God, we will have the sun on our back. We will have problems. We'll have people trying to persecute us because of our faith, or take the mickey out of us because of our faith. But those situations, if we cling to Christ, if we look to him and see that he was persecuted for us, we will grow. And when the thorns of this world, when the challenges of riches, of education, of career, of all of the problems that burden us, if we look at them and we go, Christ is better. If we see that Christ is better, then we will continue to grow. And we will grow in Christ all the more. And the fruit will be born. We will bear fruit and it will be noticeable. Look, the passage says in verse 23, it says 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. Fruit will appear in our lives if we cling to Christ. And the challenge for you today is this. Do you listen and let it just bounce off of you? Do you take it as face value, just as a story? Or do you see that the word of Christ is life-giving? It leads us into the kingdom of God. One seed sown in your life can produce many more seeds in others. And that is how the kingdom grows. You notice that one seed turns into 100 or 30 or 60 times as much. If we cling to Christ and we grow in him, we are rooted in Christ, and we are more blessed than the prophets of old. Fix your eyes upon Jesus. Listen to his word. Now, I said at the beginning, I don't want to go into this too deeply, because actually what I'd love you to do is take 10 minutes at the end of this service to read through that passage, to really look at it. I've missed a lot. I can't deal with a lot of it because I just haven't got the time. But I'd love you to look at it. And even more, I'd love you to choose. If you don't know Christ as your own Lord and Saviour right now, what is stopping you? Hear what he has to say. It is joyful news. It will cause you to grow. If you know Christ as your own, if you are saved by his grace, you know you are. You call on him for your forgiveness. Have a look. See what chokes you in this world. Take a minute to offer that to God and ask Christ to reveal his love and joy. Are you listening? Let's pray. Our Father God, we thank you that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we thank you that you are the one who is planting this seed of life, of joy. And we pray, Lord, that we would not have hard and calloused hearts like the Pharisees, Lord, but, Lord, that we would cling to you, that we would long, like the disciples, to know more. Lord, feed us. Help us to grow. Help us to bear fruit, that we might glorify you. Amen.